Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight on Windows into Eternity. This is Jan. I have with me this evening, we're here, and a friend of the house, so welcome.
Thanks.
Good evening, Jan. Thank you
for
having us on board.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. We have an exciting bunch, that's kind of an inelegant word, but we have a lot of a lot of exciting information to share with our listeners tonight. We'll also have three transmissions from Almeen that are very interesting, and I encourage everyone to stay tuned to be able to listen to those. I'd like to just mention that we do have some upcoming events that I'd like to make you aware of. One of those is an event that's a conference. It's sort of a new way that we are going to organize having a class with Almeen and also classes presented by various of the students who study with her. And it's called Almeen in Florida. And you can access the information about that conference on www.almeeninflorida.com. There's really a lot of exciting information on this website. On the homepage, there's many different tabs for information, but for instance, Almeen will be giving on Thursday the 25th a free lecture at 7 p.m., and there are free lectures scheduled throughout the weekend, and the dates of that event are, again, starting on Thursday, February 25th, all the way through February 28th, which is Sunday. Almeen will be opening the event with that Thursday evening lecture, and she'll be closing the event with a lecture at 4 to 5:30 p.m. on that Sunday. There's going to be many different classes with Baba Stata, including a lot of the different specialty modalities within that, such as Kanish, alchemical sound healing, the Baba Stata of reproduction, the Arashvatva yoga that's going to be introduced at that weekend with the class. The chronic disease healing information will be presented in a class, astrology of Isis, some of the Institute of Applied Mysticism information. We'll also be offering sessions for Baba Stata and alchemical sound healing and some of the other modalities. So it's a really new, exciting way that Almeen will be presenting classes, and she'll be lecturing off and on throughout that time. So check out that site. I will. I wanted to also mention there's a beautiful site called angelsoundhealing.com, and you can easily access that from Almeen's home website, which we often mention, but we might have some new listeners, so I will mention that. That is www.spiritualjourneys.com. When you get on that home site for Almeen, there's some beautiful graphics on there of the online institutes, our courses that we're so proud of, and there's also a picture of an angel, and that is the home website for angelsoundhealing.com. Once you click on there, it will take you to a page that's beautifully done with all the songs that are on the interstellar sound elixirs, and there's a little brief notation for each one, and if you click on the gallery, it's a pretty new addition to that site. There's a painting for each one of the interstellar sound elixirs, which were done by our beautiful sister Karen, who's an artist. So she did the paintings and brought that information in just totally separately from Almeen creating the music, the sound elixirs for them. And then it's also a more lengthy annotation on that page, which gives you some background information for each one of those songs on that sound elixir collection. So it can really deepen your experience and appreciation of listening to those. Also, there's a tab for tools on that interstellar portion of the angel sound healing. And if you click on that, it takes you to an equation, which is an alchemical equation for abundance. So that's about it for websites that I wanted to mention. I did also want to mention that there's a class coming up very soon in Sedona, which is January 21st to the 23rd. You can find out more about that on AppliedMysticism.com or Almeen-Sedona.com. Along there, and we got a little disrupted with some storming, I guess, in areas where my brothers were here and a friend Baal are. So I was speaking about the course in Stone upcoming with Almeen and how that course material is an introduction to interstellar mysticism course, which we're very excited about. It's a really wonderful course. It's going to start February 1st. And I was going to just turn to my brother right here and say, can you tell us when registration is going to start for that course? So I'll ask you that question now, if you can tell everybody where they can go and when they might be able to do that.
All right. Well, it will be officially announced tomorrow, meaning that you can go to AppliedMysticism.com and get to the website, the network website, which is InterstellarMysticism.com from there. There will be a link, or you can just go directly to interstellarmysticism.com. But when it will be announced tomorrow, we'll have the full instructions and everything. But right now, actually, since about 20 minutes, people can officially register by going to interstellarmysticism.com. And if they, you know, if they know the drill already from previous courses, then it will be fairly obvious. And if not, then it's best to wait till tomorrow when full instructions are there.
Okay, great. Thank you. I wanted to also ask if you could explain to our listeners a little bit. This course includes, this interstellar mysticism course includes the beautiful body of information of yoga, which is called Arash Sattva Yoga, and the 24 sound elixirs of the hidden kingdoms, plus the two quantivics, which are used with that yoga. Can you speak a little bit about, in particular, the music is so different than what people might be accustomed to when doing yoga?
Yes, the yoga is essentially, its function is to, the purpose of the yoga is to unblock the gates of abundance in the human body, which for various reasons will tend to get blocked, and these reasons usually are, the foundation of this is belief systems, old and obsolete belief systems, which are in the system and kind of choked channels, so to speak. And the function of this yoga is to unblock these gates, basically by doing the yoga postures, but in the meantime having the sound elixirs, 26 sound elixirs that are part of it, do the work on your system. And the yoga essentially sort of promotes a sort of detoxification to sort of unblocking these gates, releases toxins, and the music, specifically the Kanavik tracks in it, which are much more upbeat than the rest and certainly more upbeat than you would expect in a yoga session. Their function is to stimulate lymph flow and to carry these toxins away. Of course, you will have to drink water and so forth, but that's how it works. And I think we were recently discussing this as well. The good thing about that is also that it's sort of the system of yoga also throws out, you know, these sort of old ideas about holy music, simply because for the first time, really, there will be music which is not either over-polarized into the black frequency or to the white frequency. White frequency over-polarization would be very upbeat music, and black frequency or black light polarization would be very meditative music. And these sound elixirs essentially strike the balance between the black and the white, and that essentially is a formula for illumination. So it's holy in the sense that it's whole and complete, and that's really what this sound yoga is about. It's actually also what we call yoga of abundance, and I'm not sure if this is something you mentioned or not, because we kind of got knocked off the air here because of the thunderstorm, but that's essentially also what Almin in Florida is the sort of subtitle of that is the abundant life, in that much of this long weekend will have it as its theme, abundance, and not just abundance in the sense of how do I get wealthy or financially wealthy, because of course abundance and wealth is on many levels, but also it's also about deprogramming and reprogramming our notions of what abundance really is, and really to sort of rid ourselves of the standards of abundance of the world, which in many senses are kind of like false idols, as they say. So, I just wanted to mention that.
No, thank you for adding that. I also would add, in the beginning of the Arash Sattva Yoga manual, which is going to be available, I would think, maybe the end of this week. We're currently working on it, and that has, as we have spoken about, a manual, and also this hidden kingdoms of sound elixirs are available with it. So there's also an audio portion. Initially, that's going to be available as an electronic download, and eventually we will do a paper copy of that available to people. A paperback book and a CD will be available, and we're not sure exactly. Maybe somebody is on the line can have some sort of approximation of when that would be available. For now, it'll just be electronic. But it does say in the beginning of that yoga that we are self-regenerating and self-sustaining and totally self-referring systems, and that when these 144 gates of abundance are open through the use of this yoga program, that's what aids and assists that. So I'm glad you mentioned that in regards to the Florida event. I didn't really tie that in at all. So I wanted to ask from Baal. I know he's been working on a beautiful project with Almin in regards to Babas Bata, which is a healing modality that Almin brought forth in 2006. And it's just an amazing modality of assisting us to remove the illusion that is overlying the existing perfection. And it works with light and frequency in the angelic kingdom. And I know you've been working on a project, so can you please share with us about that?
Yes, Jan. I've just today finished remastering the Angels of Belvis Batal, or the first ones that are used in initiation and in healing ceremonies. Essentially, if one is going to give a healing in this modality of Belvis Batal, it would be around about an hour. So we have an hour's worth of program material, which really is like a backdrop. Rather than having a stark, silent room to work in, it seems to induce more relaxation, because the practitioner is actually calling upon these angels, not necessarily in sync with the angels that are being sung by Almin, but there's a complement. I think there's a kind of enhancing of one's guidance system whilst doing a Belvis Batal healing. Now, I know last night on Sedona, for anyone that was listening for the first time, might be wondering what Belvis Batal is about. I might hand this over to you, Jan, because you are sort of head of Belvis Batal world at the moment, but I could just, from my own perspective, add on top of what you said, that it's a new modality that's actually come from the infinite through what I call high fidelity channeling through Almin. What I mean by this is the signal that comes in is as pure as the signal that comes out. Because quite often these things are distorted, and if we look back at the times of Elizabeth I in England and Dr. John Dee and Edward Kelly, the alchemists of the day. They were, arguably the most famous alchemists of the Middle Ages. They were amongst the first to actually start channeling angelic magic from the angelic realms. But at the time, there was a lot of distortion. There were nasty grids around the earth, and there was a lot of interference with what was coming through. And above and beyond that, there was also, if you look at the Wheel of Alchemy, or the Sigil of Imest, I think it's called, it has what are called watches surrounding the sigil. And this really is some kind of disturbance which was keeping humankind in surface mind, keeping agitation to our consciousness, keeping our attention to the outside. I think it was a Nazarene that said, know thine enemy. And, I think what he was referring to was like, know what is essentially afraid of you discovering your own sovereignty. Now, I'm going to back out of this a little bit and get back to Belvis Batal, because essentially what has happened over the past few years, I think it was in February of 2005, there was a huge change in the polarity of the cosmos and the earth. And we went through this massive ascension process. And a lot of the old systems, and I don't think I'm going to mention them because I don't want to dishearten anyone, but there's a lot of old modalities that worked then but don't work anymore. I mean, you might say their effects were reversed, but there has been some kind of benign neutralizing of this problem. But it left a lot of modalities in a you know, they became obsolete. So Belvis Petar came along, and it's a gift from the infinite to use heal illusion, to scrape away the density of the illusion of disease. And, you know, essentially you're calling upon angels for guidance using light and frequency to guide your patient to a complete state of balance, you might say. The music we have available now is an hour of a recording sung by Armin of the angel names. The add-on here is that we have melodies as well. We have the tonal complement to these angels as well. Angels like Lutsepi Urubak, Yil Numubak, Tru Arir Pleva, Tru Ararir Pleva, beg your pardon. These three angels I just mentioned now are used in the opening ceremony for a healing. The first one would be drawn over the brow of the patient, and this would bring increased clarity, perception, light, and awareness. The second sigil, which is drawn over the breast or the heart, this, in fact, opens up the heart to full flow of compassion. And the third one is drawn over the navel area, the life force area of the body. And this is to increase life force, power, and energy levels. So I'm just giving you sort of a step into how the beginning of a Belvis Petar healing would be engaged. So we have the added benefit now of having this lovely backdrop of the angel names being sung to a soundscape. And I think that's going to be available tomorrow, because I have to check the mastering late tonight to make sure everything's okay.
Okay.
Jan, I've got an echo on my line right now, so I might have to call back in.
Okay, I know I can hear that also. We're having a lot of interesting electrical activity here, it seems.
Well, it's uncanny. You know, we've just got so much going on. I mean, there's an electric storm outside. 1 minute, you know, just after the hour, we went live, and we were knocked out by the storm. And, I was just thinking about the symbolism here. The storm is symbolic of cataclysmic change. And lightning is dramatic shifts in awareness. So I'm hoping there's a plus to what seems quite catastrophic at the moment.
Well,
yeah,
it is actually always, well, not always, but often when we've got really violent storms here, Almin will sort of matter-of-factly say that that's because mind is dissolving. So I guess we're in another major stretch for that one, by the looks of it.
Sound good
to me. Say, oh, that.
Just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah. I was sharing today with a group in Ohio that a lot of students who study with Almin here, I'm the facilitator for the Ohio pod group that meets here with Almin, and we're so blessed to have her come to Ohio, and we so appreciate being able to study with her right here close to home without traveling so far. So we were meeting, and we were looking at some of the information about the Rosh Safra yoga, because I was at the December pod. I was blessed to receive that information then prior to it being available to the public. It's sort of like a little break when she first wrote it, and such a great gift to have. So I was sharing with them that information, and obviously, you know, not that they received a copy of it or anything, but we just talked about it and they got to practice it. But they were asking just some questions about what it did, and, you know, we were talking about the restructuring of your body and your cells becoming more abundant, in that the nucleus opens and the cells themselves can change and transfigure to go along with these gates opening. And someone asked about fire, and they had been seeing that symbol come up a lot around them. And again, like the lightning and the electricity, it's a rapid destructuring, Almin has said, but also with destructuring comes restructuring or boundarylessness, that moving into, you know, the removal of the boundaries and the dividing, the conditioning, the matrices. So Yes, we are doing a lot of that. I hope you all stay on the line. It's kept going, but I hope to keep you with me for the rest of the show.
Actually, while we're on the subject of the electricity, I also wanted to mention one other thing about interstellar mysticism, which I haven't mentioned before simply because I did not actually know this before. Almin disclosed this to us yesterday. She was explaining that, see, it's very revolutionary, the interstellar mysticism course, simply because the way in which the data, the information will be disseminated, I mean, for those who have already heard about the interstellar mysticism course before, I mean, you know it's going to be very much more frequency-based. You could say that in the work we have been making the transition over the past months to get more, not to get away from the light and electric components like the visual, but to in a way, transcend it and have a more of a balance with frequency. And so there will be a lot of sound healing components in the interstellar mysticism course. But what's really interesting about that is that interstellar mysticism is essentially knowledge as art. And why that is because very central in the course are the invisible planets. And most of these, told us, are feminine, and they're so etheric that they're not even visible. And the point about them is that they refuse to give the information in a linear way, because that promotes ascension only of the masculine component, while in the meantime the feminine kind of languishes. And sound elixirs essentially produce feminine ascension, and not in a way which sort of, you know, in doing so leaves the masculine behind, but more in a way which restores balance. And the big sort of insight she had about it is that not only that most ascension methods have been light-based and masculine, and i.e. left-brain ascension methods, but also that much of the information she herself has brought forth previously has been left-brain ascension. So this interstellar mysticism is essentially the sort of the event where the feminine ascension process is sort of restored and the masculine ascension process is sort of, restored to its proper position rather than sort of ruling the roost, so to speak. So I thought that was really a fascinating thing to share.
So you're saying that the right eye of Horus, the left brain mystery schools are all closing down. You know, the looking students these days.
I know it's going to be part even where we are right now with the Alchemy of the One courses. There's some ceremonies coming up.
The subtlety of these planets, especially 7 through till 12, they're so ultra feminine that, it's even to say that their etheric seems to be gross. And it's like there's no way that they're going to communicate their gifts with anything that deals with linearity of mind. So, this is just the only way of connecting. I mean, even the 12 visible star systems, these, 12 star-based elixirs, which have been recently posted on the School of Arcana and Angel Sound Healing websites, even they are communicating much from the heart because, they are, in fact, much more ethereal than we are. We're the most physical, dense race that we know of, in fact. And we are becoming etherealized, and the star races are becoming densified. So this is where we're coming into concert together. We're coming into a unification. It's like a magical orchestra that's combining. The musicians are the cells in your body. They are the individuals that we are. And they also are the components, the star races themselves. Their cellular bodies, or their super non-particle bodies, bodies, you know, these kind of atoms which behave like atoms but which are in the etheric planes. All this is starting to come into like a unification, a grand piece of alchemical music. So the point I'm mentioning here is, you know, what Rogier was saying about the ascension process now, which is much more polarized towards the feminine. It's going to restore the balance after thousands of years of mystery schools that have been practicing the left brain attitude. And like I'm saying, you know, you've even got like the track, the Orion track, there's two on the 12 star race elixirs. One's the Amphipavian, and like it's the word amphibian is rooted from this ancient language. And the other race, I think we're going to play this tonight, is the Karit Arrak.
Right.
And what's that, sorry?
I think we played that already.
Okay, I might have missed that in the storm.
We can't hear all of it.
You were away then.
Yeah, you were away then.
And it's actually it's a simulation of a landing, but it's also a simulation of reconnection between the star races and humankind. But again, it's the etheric reaching the dense physical that we've been for all this time.
I love it. Go ahead, Rahe.
Well, I was actually going to say that last time we sort of got into a bit of time issue, but I thought maybe we can play the second, or actually the first transmission from Almin on the concepts of birth and catastrophe that would be good to share.
Whenever life peaks, whenever it reaches a threshold of excellence, of consciousness, of perception, whenever it has to go across a threshold, there are birth pains. This is always the case when there is a perception that needs to be gotten, and it is overdue. What overdue means, when everything really is in perfect timing, is simply that it doesn't just move forward because there's a membrane that provides opposition. We have reached this threshold. We have uncovered the source of why so many illusions have been removed by the infinite during the cycles of the dream, only to resurface, to recreate themselves yet again. The duality that we have been striving to heal has not properly healed because much of its side effects, the shadow caused by separation of the masculine and the feminine, the etheric and the physical, the soul and the body. The shadow that this has caused has been the root cause of the cosmic illusions. The shadow is called space. Many times we have tried to get rid of space and time over the years of walking this cutting-edge path. My classes and I have watched again and again as it's been removed, simply to reform again. Space is not a first cause. It is a result. A result of separating the masculine and feminine so that they can examine one another and the infinite can gain from this stage play a greater self-appreciation. It is time for this to heal. What is it that we can do to assist? Because the sooner this baby is birthed, on Earth. Results like Haiti. And its earthquake. And its suffering hordes. If we examine what we can do to assist, and this applies not only to assisting the Earth into a gentle transition, but lightworkers have also felt the pinch for at least 2 months. Things have been painfully made clear in our life. We do not need painful perception, but perception of grace. And thus, as we learn to examine opposites in our life and really see why they are not equally valued, rest and work, they are two opposites. We value rest over work. Why is it that we value one more than another, when in fact they should be lived at the same time, resting while we work and working while we rest? Whenever there is unequal value placed on a pole, it cannot heal, for the other one is diminished as one is overemphasized. Only when they are seen as equally valuable in the seasonless place of our being, can they finally be made one. When that occurs, life heals. Earthquakes are prevented. Cataclysms globally. We are the archetypes. We are the light bearers of the planet. We can do this. A graceful transition into a life of no opposites.
Just to hear Almeen say, "We can do this," is pretty inspiring. Very inspiring.
It was interesting the last time we played this, which was actually yesterday. I was going to play the second part, and then I sort of quote-unquote, accidentally replayed the first one before I played the second part. And Freemvel and I were listening to it, and suddenly we thought, hey, mate, isn't this the first one? But what was so interesting about it is that it was so multi-layered at the second time, and, you know, now even the third time around, you just hear different things in it. So I thought that was quite impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's always the way with any bit of information from Almeen, even something that seems like a simple sentence, there's no such thing with her information, but it's so multi-layered and so full of information that you could contemplate that one sentence infinitely, I believe, and just get something different. I mean, of course, we're always changing, but it's just always so full of information. I was wanting to bring up, we're here, the fact that the interstellar mysticism course, at one point, Almeen had mentioned that the astrology of Isis was a good preparation for that course. And I know she recently was re-looking at all of the information that we have on that beautiful website and redrawing some things and redoing a lot of it. So it would certainly behoove people to take another look at that. And I wondered if you could share with us, me in particular, but with everyone, where that might be and if that site is really functional now or up or what you can tell us about that.
That's a very excellent point. The thing about it, though, the astrology of Isis, is that, like, I think a week ago or maybe a bit more, was essentially announced that this would go to appliedmysticism.com because, you know, interstellarmysticism.com is a course presented by the Institute of Applied Mysticism.com, and since the astrology of Isis is really accessible, initially it was going to be preparation for the course for the Interstellar Mysticism, and it was just going to be like, okay, you know, Almeen asked me, please incorporate this in appliedmysticism.com. But then what turned out in the meantime is that really she has she is or maybe has finished now, essentially rewriting the whole astrology, meaning that what is up now will be actually taken down very soon, probably tomorrow and somewhere this week, properly replaced and also moved to interstellarmysticism.com. So, yes, it's correct that this would be good preparation, but at this time there's not much point in sort of preparing yourself with which the information that is currently up, because Almin is upgrading it, so to speak.
Okay, thanks. I'm glad I asked that question. And that kind of brings to mind, too, what people have asked sometimes on the online courses and on the forums, which are a more informal, really great part of their online courses where people can sort of chat back and forth, sort of emailing while on the course, or you can instant message, but it provides a beautiful community for people who are participating in the courses. And one of the ways that Almin answers questions is through those forums and also on the Facebook and on the blog. So we want people to know that she's hearing their questions and responding to them. One of the questions that has come up there is if the information is continually upgraded, and because some recent changes, for instance, the Rosicrucian information went from being in the key of G to the key of D, so some things have changed that might not mean much to people if you haven't studied the information, but basically the frequency of it has changed. So they were concerned, you know, can we still do these ceremonies? And we have answered that, yes, you can. But as always, Almin is the first one to say, you know, wisdom is sort of the sticking to what you thought you knew previously, and it can be a boundary of sorts, so you're always looking for what's fresh and new in the moment. So it's really exciting that she's rewriting and upgrading that. Looking forward to seeing that.
Well, there is the other element of this, and that's simply that what we find in various bodies of knowledge is that simply, you know, when there is interference, and ultimately, that really should be rephrased as long as there's duality, then quote unquote mistakes will creep in, which will be sort of be restored when it's time for them to be restored, and the body of the astrology of Isis was one of the examples where interference had crept in, and that's something that Almin is really wanting to restore now, simply because now it's time, because now Interstellar Mysticism course is starting. And just wanted to add, to be clear, that if there is such interference, it doesn't mean that there is somehow it's going to be harmful for you. I mean, the point about this is that somehow you can be led astray. The point is just that mistakes will be there to simply reflect that there is still duality. And I think really in various angles now we find Almin talking about this, but bringing forth information which is all from the angle of this resolving opposites. I think in the Alchemy of the One online network, we just had the ceremony for living a life of no opposites, and in this transmission we just heard, she speaks about the opposites and actually also space, which produces the opposites. And I think somewhere towards the end of the first course of Academy of Alchemy, which was the Science of Alchemy, which ended a few weeks ago, Almin had this epiphany about that duality is really a trinity, in that we tend to think of duality as being two poles, but it's really the space in between, the third component, which keeps these opposites alive. And actually, I also have something which is kind of hot off the press about the new IHP course that's going to start May 1st. But I was actually thinking, I don't know what you guys think, but if we maybe should listen to the second transmission of Almin.
Yeah. Sounds great to me. Thank you for clarifying the point about the ceremonies. That is what I was trying to say, too, that it is not harmful, and to know that and to trust. So thank you for making that more clear.
shifts of consciousness can be easy and slow and gradual. Or, when old perceptions are stuck, they will move rapidly, bringing catastrophic events, such as the rapid movement of two tectonic plates, which makes an earthquake. As we are all considering the great catastrophic events that have happened in Haiti, let us know that we can prevent further events, and have indeed prevented many, from taking place by the individual light workers doing their part. I wish to look at life and death. They are opposites, and so neither one exists. Why is it that people watch over and over again catastrophes and the deaths of others with such a morbid fascination? Because it makes them feel alive. To be alive is valued more than to be dead. Yet, death is only there when we do not fully live. For either the body will wear out through its resistance to life and no longer provide a good housing for the soul, and therefore recycle itself, or the soul will get worn out because life is too materialistic, and therefore the soul will become so frail that it can no longer hold on to the body. Why does reincarnation occur? Because the soul has a death, just like the body. The only time they are incorruptible is when they are joined as one, canceling one another out, and leaving beyond them eternal beingness. The soul must incarnate, or it too will die. For it needs the body to be alive as much as the body needs the soul. Death and life, two equal parts. Let us value the opposites in our life, examining them closely, making a list if needs be, that we might see them as having equal value, that they might blend, and the illusion might be gone that anything within the infinite can be separated.
So we're talking about the dissolving of the illusion of these opposites. I wondered if you were here or a friend that L could share with us about any other observations that either of you might like to speak to in particular about working side by side with Almeen. I know one example I can think of is during the December pod at her home that she snapped her foot bone, and I know
yes.
She can to work and do all her activities. So anything in particular that you want to share, I just would appreciate. We could maybe possibly kind of wind up the show with those.
I've got some which doesn't relate to the broken bone. Perhaps Ragir does. Do you want to follow up on that?
I was actually thinking about the foot bone as well, because that was a pretty good example of Almeen kind of snapped her foot bone during the December class, and some of us even kind of heard the crack. But the thing about it is that she. It wasn't like she was suppressing the pain, but she was walking like there was nothing wrong, simply because she was like, well, it depends how you want to define pain. She chose to interpret it as a kind of a pressure, which was guiding her into a certain direction, rather than, you know, defining it as pain as a one opposite on the pole and something which is therefore unpleasant. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty inspiring to see that in a being, that you're able to sort of relate to it in that way to such a phenomena. So, yeah, that's what came to mind.
And speaking of such a phenomena, Raghir, if I might spin into another exciting direction here, I often wonder how come Almi knows so much about Isis's life, almost more than Isis would know herself, you know. You know, some years ago, Dan Brown brought out the novel, the airport novel, Da Vinci Code. And it wasn't all that shabby, you might say, for, you know, a page turner. At the end of the day, it woke up a few people because life has been, you know, humankind has been symbolically illiterate over the past 100 years. You know, in the time of worshipping form, we walk through cities and we just don't see all the masonry. I mean, nobody knows what's on top of the lighthouse, for instance. I've asked 20, 30 people, what's on top of the lighthouse? What kind of architectural structure do you have there? And I've never got one good answer on that. You know, it's a cross or it's a pillar. Well, in fact, Persephone is on top, and she was a consort of Hades. But in fact, it's a distorted picture, and it actually leads back to, I think, which is Isis. The Statue of Liberty, again, it was built for the Suez Canal. It symbolized Isis. And I just find this so fascinating that, you know, Dan Brown was alluding to the bloodline, the Holy Grail going back to Christ. But it was another misleading path. It's like, let's create a decoy and a detour. Make sure people don't wake up. And I don't know how we're doing for time here. I'm going to try and bring this to a close. The Grail, in fact, leads all the way back to Isis. And as far as we can see, she was an avatar who emerged in the Anunnaki family as an imprint as an agent of the infinite to revive the memory of unbounded consciousness, you might say. It was perhaps going to be a very difficult situation if the Anunnaki, on their particular mission, it would have been very difficult for humankind to get into any kind of spiritual orientation without Isis being there. So, in fact, the Holy Grail, as far as I can see, leads back to the incorruptible holy blood of the infinite. And our wonderful Almeen, Supergirl as I call her, she seems to have walked in the same shoes as Isis because she knows blow-by-blow accounts of the life of this wonderful goddess. And I find that so exciting, you know. And if you can't see it as... I was just going to round off and say, if you can't see it as a fact or, you know, I'm not trying to prove something here, it's a wonderful legend.
Oh, it is, but then again, she also knows a lot about, I mean, I've heard her recount memories of some, you know, royal household, some Lyra and whatnot. So it's, I mean, I would personally just add that for her, whether it's Isis or anyone else, that Almeen is particularly unconcerned about any sort of avatars of the past, simply because the present is really where it's at. But you know, I see your fascination with such matters. And actually, I would also add that the Dan Brown thing is like, I would see that. I mean, if you look at the sort of the movies that have been made out of the books, it's generally pretty dark, but I would see certainly Da Vinci Code as being indicative very much of what Almeen calls the reemergence of the horizontal axis, meaning the axis of the goddess sort of reemerging on the planet. I mean, if there's one good thing that the book has brought, it's probably to awaken more of this sort of goddess consciousness in people. That would be my two cents on it.
Yeah. Also, I would like to turn back to the idea about like Almeen and her foot bone snapping and how we change our attitudes and we change all when we change our attitudes. She has spoken of the Toltec Nahual quality or the process of stalking, where you are always looking behind every single action for your motive or for your reason why you're doing that. And many times the reason we do things is just it's business as usual. It's a habit. It's a programming. It's a conditioning. So always inviting to do this self-examination of why we do the things we do, which frees us up. We can make a new choice in the moment. It's how we choose to look at something, so we have no identity at all. You know, maybe we can have these memories or these stories of ISIS or bloodlines or whatever, but exactly as you're saying right here, I mean, they're fascinating and they're fun. They at least shake people up. They at least get people to think, what if, you know, if you can think outside of the box of the church or any particular religion or any particular politics, you can begin to think, okay, what if this, what if that? And Amin just invites us always to do this. You know, she lives her life in this way, this unbounded way. She just holds this example up for us to be able to do the same thing.
And since you mentioned the Toltec and the self-examination, I think we've got the perfect entry point for the way to close up this this program, because I don't really dream a whole lot at night. I mean, I only whenever I do, it's something relevant, and whenever, I mean, then I share it with Almeen. So this morning, last night, I had a pretty vivid dream, so I was telling her about it, and she said to me, well, you know, good that you tell me, but this dreaming really has got to end. And it was another insight she had in the vein of the transcending all opposites. And she gave me the description for the Institute for Human Potential course that's going to start on May 1st. And it's a 1 month course. And it's called Becoming a Master of Dreaming. And I'd like to read essentially the description that she gave, because she prefaced it by telling me that every dream that she finds that she exits and resolves, she enters into another dream, and she doesn't mean she herself only, but really cosmic life. And this is what she had to say about it, about this course. To ascend is to awaken from a dream into a dream, never ending, unless dreaming is properly understood. The state of dreaming is but one pole, with its opposite being the state of being awake. Each is an illusion that exists through being defined by its opposite. Only through understanding and combining these poles into oneness can freedom from the dream be achieved. A vital key that is the door to freedom from illusion. Learn the shamanic techniques of being awake in the dream and the full importance of dream symbolism, and learn how the Lemurian clock maps out the dream stages of the cosmos. So, well, that was a description, and what I especially found fascinating about that is that this starts right on the heels of the Interstellar Mysticism course finishing, and since that's also about reuniting the star races and humanity, and I was kind of thinking, well, what's going to come after that? Well, this is what comes after that, so it's very exciting, I think.
It is exciting. Thank you. Well, we'll go into our next transmission and our final one for the evening. I want to thank you for here. And thank you, from Baal, and to all of our listeners. And we'll go ahead and end our show with a beautiful transmission from our beloved Almeen.
I think we've had both already. I mean, we can play
one. Oh, I thought
again.
You were going to say there was one more. I'm sorry. I thought you were saying there was one more. You meant what you read.
Yeah, what I read.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
One more. Okay, well then. We will just
multifaceted and multi-layered, so if you hear it again, you can hear something brand new. And I guarantee that, because every time I master these, I record them, I play them back, I edit them down, I master them, and every time I listen, they sound different. I really feel like they're changing, in fact, you know? It's like the content is morphing. So there's no harm there if you play it again.
Yeah, It's beautiful. You know what I wanted to add? I was reviewing some curriculum for the Institute of Human Potential course, and I found it so fascinating that this particular day's lesson was talking about the dissolving of the opposites. And now this information came in sometime previously. It's now coming up on the day's curriculum totally in sync with the fact that this is the information Amin has been talking about just most recently, you know, in the last week or so. So it just was so beautiful and such a amazing synchronicity and just showing the perfection of the connection of the oneness. It was really interesting. So I thank you all for joining us this evening again, and we'll be with you next week again on Windows into Eternity.
All right. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you, Jan. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.